Current State on WKAR, Peter Warfin for Mark Bayshore. The new fiscal year begins on Wednesday here in Michigan, and for the federal government, it's the first day that low-income households can apply for home heating assistance funds. For years, Michigan participated in the so-called Heat and Eat program, which provided an automatic energy assistance payment for people enrolled in the SNAP program, which you may know is food stamps. But the 2014 Farm Bill, signed last February right here in East Lansing, cut federal funding for food stamps. Now the state of Michigan has opted not to pay an additional fee to allow some energy assistance recipients to qualify for food stamps. That decision is expected to affect as many as 170,000 households in the state of Michigan. So joining me to talk about the potential impact of those cuts in mid-Michigan is Joan Jackson Johnson, who directs the City of Lansing's Human Relations and Community Services Department. Joan, welcome back to Current State. Thanks for being here this morning.
Thank you.
Joan, how many families have you served in the Lansing area that have benefited from the Heat and Eat program? And what's the scope of that need for home heating and food assistance in this region?
Yeah, last year I may have had a different take on it, but after the brutal winter that we had, the numbers have gone up. We have thousands of families that benefit from food stamps in general, and the Heat and Eat program allowed a increase for some families, which is much needed. A normal family, let's say a family of six that were the recipients of that, still had struggles getting by, meeting their needs. They often would frequent a pantry in the city of Lansing or something that the city does, a mobile food pantry, which meant that the dollars that they received in food stamps just did not stretch far enough to meet the needs of the family. A study was done several years ago with looking at food challenges with families and saw that even though some children received, you know, two meals a day, 10 a week at school, we still had children going home to nothing and were missing, based on this study, about 8.2 meals a week. When you do the math, there's a gap there. And so several problems with that has to do with food challenges and other things. But when you enter into a brutal winter that we had and the changes that the state of Michigan made that delayed the payment of utility assistance, many people were without power before our hard winter where we lost power for days and days for many families. So you look at the combination, the reduction in food stamps that we had last year, and those that aren't affected by the Heat and Eat program, they will receive an increase this year. They lost about $25 per household last year, and the increase would be about $8. So they're still operating behind the eight ball, so to speak. So when you add these changes and you look at the removal of, you know, about $21 per household is what it would cost the state in order to continue the Heat and Eat program, that reduction is going to hit significantly to households. And although I don't have a clear fix on the number in the greater Lansing area, I know that one would be one too many.
The Farm Bill did cut food assistance, but there is a loophole. Before the bill took effect, states like Michigan paid a dollar for every household's energy cost to keep them in food stamps. Now the figure's been raised to $21, as you That's say, correct. Per household. 12 states decided to go ahead and pay the extra $20, but Michigan did not. So we asked state officials about that decision, and here's Bob Wheaton, a spokesperson for the Michigan Department of Human Services.
We can't justify an automatic expenditure of $21 a household from our limited energy assistance funds for families that don't even have actual heating costs just to allow them to qualify for additional food assistance funds. This discussion also came in a year, as you remember, last winter was a very cold winter where Michigan had record cold temperatures and there were a lot of people who had heating assistance needs. So that made the decision make even more sense when there was such a need for heat assistance, and we would be taking away money from people who needed help for the sake of exploiting this loophole.
That's Bob Wheaton, spokesperson for the Michigan Department of Human Services. So, Joan, Bob is saying that the state decided not to keep paying the heating subsidy for people who don't actually have heating bills. These are renters whose landlords foot the bill. So what's your response to what Bob Wheaton has to say? Was it a good decision? Do you see short and long-term implications?
I don't think it was a good decision. And first of all, I'd like to know what they did pay last year. Public Act 615 was enacted last year, and normally an emergency time period for heat assistance would have begun October 1st, and instead allegedly was delayed until November 1. However, when November 1 came around, there was this huge delay, and thousands of people had utility shutoffs. So, you know, they didn't do, you know, that part of it. And the emergency, as they stated in Public Act 615, had significant implications for families already. Mm-hmm. And if you look at the, you know, cost of renters who are paying zero for heat versus those that are, I mean, landlords build that in some way, so they may be paying rent that's a little bit higher than what they can afford. So I don't see the logic there, and I think what we have to look at is what is the right thing and what's in the best interest of the citizens of the state of Michigan. Those citizens that I worry about the most are the most vulnerable ones, and that's the children and our elderly. Many of our elderly in the community, you know, suffer as much as, you know, families do because they plan for retirement, and with elevated costs here, there, and then taxing on some of their income. I mean, it's just a whirlwind. It's a roller coaster. It's up and down. I feel that the department decisions about food stamps and the decisions about Public Act 615 certainly does not serve citizens. And, you know, where do we pay? You know, if kids aren't getting the proper nutrition, seniors aren't getting that, you know, does that increase health costs? You know, does Johnny, is Johnny a slower learner at school because he's coming in so starved that he's worrying about when can he get his free breakfast versus what he's actually coming to school for? It's a challenge, and I guess I wonder, you know, who's running the shop? I mean, Department of Human Services, I would think, would be the biggest advocate for the best interest of our citizens, and with decisions like that, it's almost like they're balancing a budget on the back of the poor again.
The cuts to food stamps in the latest farm bill were meant to save more than $8 billion over the next 10 years. We spoke to Democratic Senator Debbie Stabenow, who was the chief architect of the farm bill. She said she knew some states would opt not to pay that extra home heating fee, so they kept that provision in the bill. But now that 12 other states have decided to pay more, some Republicans who pushed for cuts to food stamps are upset about it. Did you or your colleagues and peers lobby the state to pay that extra amount?
Well, we assume that Michigan would be one of those states that would do that. I mean, when you look at the $40 billion that they were talking about cutting initially, and the compromise with the farm bill was the $8 billion, then the costs seem, you know, one that we, in my opinion, should have taken on $21 a household. And what do you lose in the end? When you, again, remove basic needs from people, you know, they look at other alternatives in order to meet their needs. And so we tried to lobby for that. We've tried to lobby for, you know, household increases for food and the emergency relief for some of the heating challenges that people have.
Mm-hmm. My guest today is Dr. Joan Jackson Johnson. She's the director of the Department of Human Relations and Community Services for the City of Lansing. We're talking about the imminent cuts to the Supplemental Nutritional Assistance Program, that's SNAP, also known as food stamps. That's expected to affect as many as 170,000 households in Michigan. Where do families go for food assistance, and what sort of demand is being made on these places, and how are they handling it?
Well, you know, you call 211, and they will direct you to a food pantry. Families can only be assisted once a month in a food pantry. The City of Lansing has opted to provide another service, and that's a monthly mobile food pantry. And we provide assistance, the food that we provide assists up to, you know, 4,000 to 5,000 individuals, which would equate to about, you know, 700 households. That's still not enough. I mean, the food that we're giving out, because of the increase in numbers, barely would cover them for, you know, 3 or 4 days. And the initial intent was for a week of food. And when you go to the pantries, it's basically the same, you know, thing. And what it says to us that the food stamp assistance as it is now does not meet the needs of all of our families. And it's looking at, you know, stuff like, let's say, families with younger children. And I always thought that WIC provided formula for a child for the month. I found out that WIC only augments. And have you seen the cost of formula? So again, you're trying to balance things. And households, those that are working, the working poor, those that are more dependent because of other reasons on the system, are just not able to make ends meet. And I feel that it's a failure of our system when we look at people and we realize that the community can't balance it. The churches, who we normally depend on, are starting to send people to the city of Lansing. That's not our goal there. We're here to support them, but they are out of resources. And it's a combination. Do you give families money for fuel, or do you try to help them to eat?
Families on the Heat and Eat program will see an average of about a $76 a month cut. Most of these will impact in November. Is your office planning any specific measures to deal with this expected rise in the clients that you'll see?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, the heating challenges from last year just drained our resources. So I don't know what we're going to do. You know, hopefully we're going to be able to get with our faith-based partners and provide something, but I know that it will not meet all the needs because of the dwindling resources in our community. Again, is it fuel, is it rental assistance, or is it food?
What are the ways that people here in mid-Michigan can apply for both heating assistance and food stamps?
They can fill out a state emergency relief application online, and those that don't have access to a computer can certainly go out to Department of Human Services in their lobby. They have individuals assisting with that. But it's not an overnight process. I mean, there is a wait period. There's a time period to have that process. So if you're really in crisis, the best thing they can do is to perhaps go to some of the shelters that provide meals, a hot meal, Lansing City Rescue Mission, Volunteers of America, Advent House Ministries, and there are several other churches that provide a hit and miss. Though that information can be given out by 211. The other thing is to frequent your pantries in the community and also look for the third Saturday of each month when the city of Lansing has the mobile food pantry available in the community.
Dr. Joan Jackson Johnson is the director of the Department of Human Relations and Community Services for the city of Lansing. Thanks, Joan.
Thank you.